This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Bottom of the hour, halfway through the program, Saturday morning, you're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290. Drew Mandel and Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio. And for the next 90 minutes, we are your number one destination for fantasy hockey discussion. No doubt your hockey pool is this weekend, or maybe it's early next week. We'll get you set, get you prepped, get you ready for everything you need to know about fantasy hockey. You can reach us here in studio via Twitter at Illegal Curve. And of course, our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news and audio is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
No better way to start a fantasy hockey preview show than with the senior fantasy editor of NHL.com. His name is Pete Jensen. He's a good friend of the program. Pete, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me. And yeah, great to see you guys doing the show again. It's always something that I look forward to every year, and it's a great resource for the fans.
Absolutely, Pete. That's why we have you on each and every year during this program. Pete, you know, most of the fantasy hockey drafts I'm in, actually all the fantasy hockey drafts I'm in, are pretty straightforward. 1 point for a goal, 1 point for an assist. My feeble brain can't work any harder than that. And the answer, obviously, if you're in a pool like that, is Connor McDavid's your first overall pick. In a different pool, sort of a roto-style pool where other things might be rewarded besides goals and an assist, can you make an argument that someone other than Connor McDavid should be your first overall pick?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in my rankings for standard Yahoo leagues, which count categories like power play points, shots on goal, hits, that's a new category this season. I mean, there's definitely a case for Alex Ovechkin, and that's who I have ranked number one in that league format ranking. So, I mean, Ovechkin, since he's entered the league, is right up there in goals, power play points, shots on goal. He's fourth in hits since he's entered the league. He's played in 97% of his career possible games. So, and he had five times as many hits as McDavid last season with 89 points and elite category coverage as usual. So I think there's a great argument for Ovechkin. And he's also at the left wing position, which as we get to the center landscape, it's so much deeper than years past. So I think left wing gives him an edge as well.
Pete, John Tavares was the big free agent acquisition of the summer for the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's averaged 76 points over the last 4 years, and obviously now he's on a much better team. Now that he's on the Leafs, do you see his point totals going up significantly above that average of 76? Do you think he can get closer to 90 points, or do you expect him to be high 70s, low 80s?
I mean, I think he should at least be in the 80s, and I think that with some of the talent around him, whether it's Mitchell Marner at even strength and Austin Matthews and Nazem Kadri potentially on the same power play unit with him, he has a chance to take his game to another level. We projected him at NHL.com for 91 points. Some may think that's a little high. I think that with some of the cast of characters that he's played with over the years, some decent, some not so great that he really elevated, I think that John Tavares is going to be playing with some of the most talented players he's ever played with at the NHL level. We've seen him play for Team Canada through the years and thrive in those situations. So I think that, I think John Tavares has a great chance of hitting 90, considering he hit 80-plus three times through his 9 seasons with the Islanders, and the ripple effect extends for the Maple Leafs to Marner, to William Nylander, who could now be playing with Matthews, and Matthews' enormous pressure taken off his back. And I also think this affects guys like Morgan Riley, Jake Gardner, and even Frederick Anderson. So the John Tavares saga landed him with the Maple Leafs, and this is now one of the most coveted fantasy teams in the entire league.
Pete Jensen is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Pete is the senior fantasy editor of NHL.com. We're talking about forwards getting you set for your fantasy hockey season. Pete, last year, Claude Giroux of the Philadelphia Flyers had a tremendous year, a career year, with 102 points, including a league-high 68 assists. The year previous, though, he was a 71-point player, less than a point a game. That's sort of what he's averaged over the previous 4 seasons prior to last year. Which Claude Giroux is the real one, the 102-point player, or the guy who's averaging around 70 points?
I think it's somewhere in the middle. I think that previous year he was still dealing with that nagging injury. his year-to-year consistency has been an issue, especially lately, which is why he's not in my top 10 after hitting 100-plus points. I also think the Flyers are going to be loaded. I mean, they're going to have guys like Lindblom and Simmons on the third line, so they're going to be giving guys like them big minutes, especially Simmons in a contract year for fantasy is a big development. They have Nolan Patrick. They added James Van Riemsdyk. There's a lot of scoring to go around. So I would say Giroux's point total might come down a little bit, especially if Sean Couturier is banged up, which he is right now, and he was at the end of last season. That's his center line mate after Giroux moved to left wing. So, yeah, I'm expecting a little bit of a dip, but I still have Giroux as a top 15-20 overall player. He's dual eligible in Yahoo leagues and still a lot to offer. So I wouldn't underestimate him or take him too high. I'd take him right in that early second round, mid-second round range in standard 12-team drafts.
Pete, Buffalo Sabres center Jack Eichel, he hasn't been healthy for the full last couple of seasons. He had 64 points in 67 games last year, very close to a point a game. How do you see the addition of Jeff Skinner impacting his fantasy value?
Yeah, I think from Skinner to Rasmus Dahlin, Dahlin is going to make that team so much more competitive at even strength. The Sabres, even through these bad years, have been a top-notch power play team. So now adding the two of them in Skinner and Dahlin, and then also a new goalie in Carter Hutton, I think just revamps that roster nicely. They have the rookie Casey Mittelstadt behind them. So I think that that top line, if it shapes up to be Jeff Skinner, Jack Eichel, and Sam Reinhart being a potential breakout candidate, I think that that line could be a top 15 line in the entire NHL. And certainly Jack Eichel has been knocking at the door of a point-per-game season over a full season. He hasn't played close to a full season since his rookie year, but he's been close to a point-per-game player over the past 2 years. So we're just waiting for that full-fledged fantasy breakout. And I think it comes this year where the Sabres are kind of in the middle of those elite teams in the Atlantic and also those bad teams in the Atlantic like Montreal, Detroit, and Ottawa. So I think Buffalo is going to win a lot of games this year. They're probably going to increase their win total by 10 to 12 compared to last year.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290. Our guest is Pete Jensen, senior fantasy editor of NHL.com. We're talking about forwards as we try and get you set for your upcoming hockey pool. Pete, Sasha Barkov is, of course, the new captain of the Florida Panthers. Last year, he finished just outside the top 20 in scoring with 78 points. You know, that was obviously a career year for him. Is that just the tip of the iceberg? Is this a guy you could see making a jump even further ahead into the top 15 of scoring in the NHL?
Absolutely. I mean, he has Anze Kopitar written all over him. He's eventually going to get into that 90-point range. Might even be this season where I think the Panthers are a top 10 fantasy team, considering their depth. Their strengths and their depth at all positions, all situations. They have three strong lines, two strong power play units, two viable goalies. I think they're a very safe team, even being in the same division, you know, as the Maple Leafs, Bruins, and Tampa Bay Lightning. But yeah, for Barkov, one of the best two-way centers in the game already. I mentioned center is very deep, but keep in mind, if you don't get a McDavid or a Tavares or Matthews in the first round, you can fall back on a Mark Scheifele in the third round, or Jack Eichel in the third round, or a Barkov in the fourth round, and he could end up, you know, finishing in the top 15 overall fantasy players. So that's a great strategy for fantasy drafts this year with how deep the center position is, and Barkov's at the forefront of it.
Pete, I wanted to ask you about Matt Barzal. He obviously wins the Calder Trophy last year, 85 points in his rookie season. You know, if you're in a standard hockey pool that we talked about where goals are worth a point, assists are worth a point, and maybe you've got, you know, 10 or 12 teams in your hockey pool and 10 or 12 rounds, where would you draft Matt Barzal? Is he a second round pick? And are you at all worried that his point totals might dip a little bit, you know, and he might have a bit of a sophomore slump?
I worry about his point total dipping for two reasons. I worry about the defensive structure of Barry Trotz's system. I mean, sometimes that might improve the team, but he might not be taking as many chances as he did last year. He also doesn't have John Tavares in front of him, so there's a lot of additional pressure on Barzal. That said, he's still been electric in the preseason. Then again, they haven't played the best competition. They've been playing the Rangers a lot and the Flyers a lot, so I'm worried a little bit about him. That said, I think his fantasy floor in terms of points alone is probably 65-70. I mean, he had 85 last year. I think a good estimate would be about 75, a 10-point dip, which would make him worthy, certainly, of a top 30 pick in a pool like that. If you're talking about one that counts hits and all the plus-minus, where that could hurt you, then I'm taking him outside the top 50, even with how good of a season he had. But yeah, Barzal, an interesting note about him. Everybody thought he was going to play with Anders Lee and Jordan Eberle, but this preseason he's carried over the chemistry with Anthony Beauvillier. Anthony Beauvillier is a sleeper in fantasy leagues. Everybody should be trying to target this guy late in rounds.
Pete, what are realistic expectations for you for Ilya Kovalchuk? He obviously signed the big 3-year, $6 million a year deal with the Kings, but he hasn't played in the NHL since 2013. How would you approach drafting Kovalchuk in a pool?
Yeah, he's actually been falling. When they signed him, the chance to play with Kopitar or Carter, that security blanket, I thought I was going to be targeting him, around the top, maybe just outside the top 50, certainly in the top 75. I mean, we just did a mock draft the other day where he fell outside the top 100. You can almost bank on getting Kovalchuk outside the top 75 in most standard league drafts, and I think that's a great range for him. I mean, he's dual eligible in Yahoo, left wing, right wing eligible. He has that luxury of playing with two top-tier centers. Even if he plays with Carter, produced at a great rate and is a 60-plus point guy whenever he's healthy. So Kovalchuk, I know the age concerns. He's 35, the skating concerns in the younger, more run-and-gun NHL, but he has looked dynamic. He's been working out like crazy if you checked out his Instagram over the summer. So I think that I like taking Kovalchuk. I've taken him in a lot of drafts. I would certainly take him outside the top 75 and expect him to at least produce over 60 points, maybe even 65-70.
Last question for you, Pete. Pete Jensen, senior fantasy editor of NHL.com, is our guest here on the program talking about fantasy hockey forwards. You mentioned Anthony Beauvillier as a guy who you like and who you think people should target. Who are other breakout candidates that you think might be maybe flying a little bit under the radar as we enter fantasy hockey season?
Yeah, there are a couple. I mean, there are some guys that you can get outside the top 100. I mean, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins comes to mind. Whether you look at any of those right wings that are going to line up next to McDavid, it seems like Nugent-Hopkins, with the way he played down the stretch last season and certainly in the preseason, moving to left wing. Nugent-Hopkins is a guy that is now eligible at left wing, giving him a lot of value at a scarce position. And yeah, Nugent-Hopkins, I think he's been in the 50s before a couple times, three times. I think he can make that jump to 65-70 points if he sticks with McDavid for a full season. There's also Jake Guentzel, who hits if you're in a league like that, and he also has enormous scoring upside. If he could translate his playoff production on a line with Sidney Crosby to a full regular season, so we're all looking for that from Jake Guentzel. He's available on average outside the top 100. Alex DeBrincat as well. He scored 52 points and was one of the top rookie goal scorers, and I believe led rookie goal scorers in even strength goals last season, playing on mostly the third line and second power play unit. So if he gets time with Jonathan Taves and or Patrick Kane, watch out. I think DeBrincat could make an enormous jump as well. And then another guy I'm looking at is Timo Meier for the San Jose Sharks. I mean, this lineup is loaded after the Erik Karlsson move. Even at even strength, I think if he plays in the top six, even on the top line with Pavelski or second line with Logan Couture, Timo Meier is a guy with a high shot volume. He scored 20-plus goals last year. I could see him scoring 30 in that offense and maybe leading the Sharks in goals among forwards. So that'll be an interesting development for sure. So, yeah, a lot of great options for you guys outside the top 100 and certainly in late rounds.
Pete Jensen is the senior fantasy editor of NHL.com. Pete, always appreciate your time. Always appreciate your insight. Thanks so much for joining us as part of our fantasy hockey preview show.
Yeah, great show, and thanks again for having me. Always a pleasure, guys.
Pleasure's all ours, Pete. Thanks again. When we come back, we continue our discussion of fantasy hockey forwards. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live Saturday morning on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
To Eberle. Eberle pushes it ahead. Here is McDavid. McDavid trying to split the defense. McDavid, what a play! What a goal! Oh my, Connor McDavid, welcome back!
Here's a bouncing puck in front. Crosby bats out of the air, and we're all tied up. And then this puck just bounces around, and it bounces to Crosby, and he's around the net where he should be.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're talking all things fantasy hockey on this Saturday morning. This segment brought to you by Bernstein's Deli, official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey and home of the Illegal Curve Sandwich. Located in the Cordon Village Mall, Bernstein's Deli has been Winnipeg's deli destination for over 30 years. For more information, find them on Facebook or at bernsteinsdeli.com. Remember, Bernstein's offers citywide delivery. Check out shopbernsteins.com for all your Bernstein's and delivery needs. Again, that's shopbernsteins.com. Ezzy, we continue our discussion about fantasy hockey, getting you set for your fantasy hockey draft, you know, your office pool, whatever you terminology you like to use. It might be this weekend, might be early next week. We just had Pete Jensen talking about forwards. We continue our discussion as at forwards here, and as I mentioned, as you know, the pool that we're typically in, or the one that you run, is one goal, one assist. I've heard of other pools, of course, where maybe they give 2 points for a goal, something like that.
I'm in a pool where 2 points are awarded for a goal, 1 point for an assist. But as sure. Pete Jensen mentioned,
yeah.
I mean, when you're talking about, you know, power play points, you're talking about plus minus hits and all of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right, Drew. We're going to focus on, you know, simple hockey drafts where a goal is 1 point and an assist is 1 point.
Simple is our middle name. We've been called simpletons, so you know, we'll keep it as simple as we possibly can as we have this conversation. Obviously, Connor McDavid, you know, anybody who gets the first overall pick, I mean, unless you're unnecessarily daring, Connor McDavid's the only answer for you.
Right, and for me, it has to be McDavid first overall in a standard draft, Drew, and that's because he put up 108 points on a team that missed the playoffs and wasn't very good. So I've said this before. I think it's only a matter of time before Connor McDavid hits 120. I mean, you forget, and I always say this, he's 21 years old.
Yeah.
And we talk about it with Patrick Laine. I mean, why can't Patrick Laine hit 60 goals? He just put up 44 at age 20.
Yeah.
So for me, Connor McDavid, he's going to be somewhere around 110, 115, maybe 120. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked. Would you be shocked, Drew, if he gets up to 125? I mean, this is a generational talent. He's the best player to come around since Sidney Crosby. So if you've got the first overall pick, take Connor McDavid, or you're probably going to be mocked.
That's a fair way of putting it. You probably will be mocked, exactly. You know, what about the guys after McDavid? There's never really been a tremendous amount of consistency lately. I mean, Claude Giroux with his 102 points last year, sort of comes out of nowhere. Nikita Kucherov, who's a tremendously talented player, I don't know anybody that had him at 100 points last season. So it seems like it's a bit of a dog's breakfast, or a beauty is in the eye of the beholder, when it comes to all those players sort of right after Connor McDavid, who's going to be, you know, if you have the second overall pick, it's not a great position to be in, because there's no, you know, clear-cut answer for who you should be taking at second overall.
Right, and, you know, for me, I wouldn't take Claude Giroux with the second overall pick. I mean, for me, you know, maybe he's a early second-round pick, but I'm taking Nikita Kucherov, and, you know, you mentioned he was third in the league in scoring 100 points, and if you look at his career trajectory, you know, he's gone from 66 points to 85 points to 100 points. I would expect him to be, you know, somewhere around 90 to 100 points, maybe even higher, Drew, and, you know, then I would throw in Evgeny Malkin as well, and, you know, over the years, sure, he's missed some games, but, you know, you look at his career stats, Evgeny Malkin, year after year, is a point-per-game player, so I think Malkin is in the conversation, and Nathan McKinnon as well. I mean, Nathan McKinnon obviously was the runner-up to Taylor Hall for the Hart Trophy. But for me, you know, Nathan MacKinnon's going to be right up there. I mean, I would expect him to, at the very least, be top 10 in the NHL in scoring, probably top 5. I expect him to be somewhere around, you know, 85 to 95 points.
Yeah, I mean, Nathan MacKinnon, you know, obviously had a tremendous year last year, even while missing 8 games. So he put up 97 points. If he plays in those 8 games that, you know, that he missed, you know, he's definitely probably finishing... Well, he finishes top 5. I mean, he was 5th. I guess he probably leapfrogs over Malkin and Kucherov. He might even catch Claude Giroux to finish 2nd overall in points.
I would hear, you know, Nathan MacKinnon at 2nd overall.
I
don't think that would be a bad pick.
No, I think there's a lot to like about that idea, about Nathan MacKinnon 2nd overall.
Kucherov is safer, but...
Yeah, I mean, Kucherov might be a little safer, but I think that... I mean, Kucherov at 100 points is probably his peak. I mean, not that that's anything to be ashamed of. That's an incredible season.
But look at the team that he plays with, right? Well, like, he plays with Stamkos. He plays with Victor Hedman.
Yeah. He certainly plays with talented players all around him, and that could certainly account for that. Mark Scheifele was a point-a-game player last year. I mean, he had the injury. Where do you take Mark Scheifele? Let's keep it local here for fans, you know, obviously fans of this program and fans of the Winnipeg Jets often like to take Winnipeg Jets players.
Right.
So what do you do with Mark Scheifele after he had a point-a-game season, albeit an injury-shortened season?
Right. As you mentioned, Drew, I mean, he's a point-a-game player now. And, you know, again, if we're talking about, you know, you've got, you know, 10 or 12 guys or 10 or 12 teams in your pool and you're drafting, you know, anywhere from, let's say, 10 to 14 players, I don't think I have Mark Scheifele as a first round pick because I think there's, you know, better players ahead of him. But I think, you know, Mark Scheifele is a solid second round pick. I mean, if he's healthy this year, 80 to 90 points is probably where I have him. Mm-hmm. Probably closer to 80 to 85, but you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Scheif is around 85 to 90.
You know, you talk about it in daily fantasy a lot, and they talk about it, especially, say, in the NFL, where you get both the quarterback and you get the receiver. So when they combine on a touchdown, you really stack up your points. That's something I like to do in a hockey draft, if at all possible, stack up teammates so that a guy like Scheifele and Wheeler playing together, you know, or Wheeler and Connor, or Scheifele and Connor, you stack those guys together, and when that line's going, you can really rack up the points. Sort of the strategy in a playoff pool is often to go heavy on one or two teams, stack up on those guys. That's a strategy I also like to incorporate in a regular season pool as well.
Well, I think you could make an argument that all three of those players should be second-round picks. Certainly Scheifele and Wheeler. Maybe Kyle Connor's more of a third- or fourth-round pick because he's not going to get as many assists, but why shouldn't we expect Kyle Connor to get 30 to 35 goals this year and you know, 60 to 65 points? I mean, this is a guy who was excellent in the preseason. We talked about it, that last preseason game against the Devils. I mean, for my money, he was the best forward on the ice. And we talked about Scheifele, Wheeler. I mean, maybe Wheeler doesn't put up similar point totals, but you know he's going to be somewhere around that 75 to 90 point range.
Quick answer to this one. If you're in a pool, as you mentioned, you're in a pool that awards 2 points for a goal, Ovechkin or Laine?
I'm taking Laine.
Over Ovechkin.
Over Ovechkin. I strongly believe if Laine plays the majority of the games this year, and he did last year.
Yeah. He played all 82.
I think he hits 50, maybe 55, and I think he wins the Rocket Richard.
Okay. Now, sleepers, some guys you have that sort of you think might break out when you look at fantasy hockey this season.
And, you know, I'll make it quick here, Drew, because we've got Gus Katsaros coming up at 11 o'clock to talk defensemen. And I have to give a shout-out to Elliot Friedman, who mentioned him in his 30 thoughts. But Danique Martel, a guy who was claimed off of waivers by the Tampa Bay Lightning. This is a guy who's undrafted, 23 years old, 5'9". So you think of, you know, Marty St. Louis and Jonathan Marchessault and Yanni Gourde, who obviously had a great rookie year last year. This is a guy who had 40 points in 59 games in the American Hockey League for Lehigh Valley. And obviously, you know, he's not a guy that's going to start on the second line, but Martel is a guy that I think could be a sleeper, a guy that you get in the later rounds that could maybe get you, you know, 35 to 40 points, something like that. Another guy that I have as a potential breakout forward is Andre Kasha. And we talked about him a little bit last year. You know, this is a guy I didn't know a lot about, but every time I've watched him play, really good hands, really good speed. He's only 22 years old, put up 20 goals and 38 points last year in only 66 games. So for me, he's a guy that, you know, I could see him, you know, getting closer to 25 goals, maybe 50 points. One final guy, Kevin LeBanc. And this is a guy that, you know, kind of came out of nowhere as well, 22 years old. You know, he had 11 goals and 40 points last year for the San Jose Sharks. This is a late draft pick of the San Jose Sharks, and this is a guy to me that I could see him, you know, maybe getting into that 50 to 55 point range.
Three names off the board to keep an eye on as you have your fantasy hockey pool. When we come back, as you mentioned, Gus Katsaros is going to join us. We're going to talk about fantasy hockey defensemen. That's a conversation I think that starts with the San Jose Sharks and two guys named Burns and Carlson. Gus Katsaros joins us next to talk about fantasy hockey defensemen. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Hour number three of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now. You're listening to TSN 1290. Drew Mandel and Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio. We continue our fantasy hockey preview show. We're going to talk about defensemen. You can reach us here in studio at Illegal Curve. And of course, our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news and audio is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Pleased to welcome to the program from McKean's Hockey. His name is Gus Katsaros. Gus, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us as part of our fantasy hockey preview show.
Oh, thanks for having me on, guys.
Our pleasure, Gus. You know, we're going to talk to you about defensemen, and given the offseason that has occurred, any conversation about defensemen begins and ends with the San Jose Sharks, the purveyors now of both Brent Burns and Erik Karlsson. With Karlsson now a member of the Sharks, do you think that he is the clear-cut number one defenseman to be taken in your standard hockey pool? Or could you see an argument that maybe his numbers will dip in having to share time with Brent Burns?
I really don't think that it's a matter of sharing time. I think that they'd equally find success if they were both on the ice at the same time. They could easily play to each other's strengths, Karlsson being a setup man, Burns being a shooter. I think that in every league, though, Karlsson has to be the de facto number one choice, only simply because of the fact that he is the elite generation of defensemen. Now, he does have injuries, and those concerns are valid. But I think for the value that you get and for the player that you're getting, it's almost a clear-cut choice that he should be number one, regardless of whether he was playing in San Jose, Ottawa, the Rangers, the Leafs, whatever the case is. I think that he would still be a clear-cut number one throughout the league.
Gus, we have to ask you about Drew Doughty. He was a Norris Trophy finalist last year, a couple of years. He won the Norris Trophy, but we're talking about fantasy hockey. He put up a career-high 60 points, but as you know, his point totals have fluctuated kind of in the 45 to 60-point range. What's your assessment of Doughty in relation to fantasy hockey this year?
Yeah, well, I mean, Doughty's one of those players where you probably do want to have him on your team in real life, but, I mean, as a fantasy choice, he's similar to Jonathan Toews. They provide value above and beyond what they're able to provide in terms of production. But from a fantasy perspective, they're very middling players. And the other question, especially with Doughty, is the fact that the Kings have just had so much struggles to score goals that while he still becomes a bit, he's not as valued as high just from a fantasy perspective, the fact that the Kings can't score often enough is adds another layer of uncertainty. So now they went out and they picked up Ilya Kovalchuk, which should help a little bit. But does it really put enough of an emphasis to give any kind of a bump to Drew Doughty? And I don't really think that it does. I think what you see is what you get from Doughty here on in. And we're probably at the peak at this point. We're probably going to see a drop in production sometime in the near future. It may not necessarily be this season, but if he was already a middling fantasy prospect now, I can only see a bit of the decline going forward.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290. Our guest is Gus Katsaros. He's a hockey analyst for McKean's Hockey. We're talking about fantasy hockey defensemen as part of our fantasy hockey preview show. Gus, Tyson Barrie actually finished second in the NHL in terms of points per game played by a defenseman, at least those defensemen that played, you know, more than 45 games last season. He had 68 games played, 57 points. If Tyson Barrie is healthy for an entire season, where do you see him finishing points-wise?
So we would have Barrie somewhere in the mid-50s range. We're looking at players that are probably on the first power play unit, but on a lower power play unit, that's essentially where I would have him. So if you're looking at a player that you really want just in the 50s, maybe in the secondary range, in the a spot where you just need to fill a roster, Tyson Berry fills in very nice. See, last year's production from Berry was very, very predominant on his power play production. He got 75%. He got a point on 75% of the goals scored, and their power play really excelled. So from an expected goals perspective, meaning from all the chances that were generated while this player was on the ice, the Colorado Avalanche power play overextended by 12 goals. So if he's getting a lot of points by these goals, and these goals were actually above and beyond what their predicted value should be, I think that what happens is his overall value is going to decline if there is any type of a decline in the Colorado power play. So while I feel Berry is one of the upper echelon players, I don't think that he's one of the upper echelon fantasy guys. I think that what you're looking at is a second tier, right at the top of the second tier, and it's all dependent on how Colorado is able to perform on the 5-on-4 power play.
Gus, Maple Leafs defenseman Jake Gardiner, as you know, was criticized a lot last year during the playoffs. But when you talk about fantasy hockey, I mean, this guy's a stud. He had 52 points last year. He was tied for sixth among all defensemen with 37 even-strength points. And he's obviously a potential UFA next summer. Now that he's going to be passing the puck to John Tavares, how many points do you have Jake Gardiner at this year?
Yeah, it's interesting to say that, right? But will Jake Gardiner be getting the same kind of opportunities on the power play than he probably had last year? I'm figuring it's going to be a secondary power play spot. So he has the benefit of playing with Tavares and giving pucks to him and everybody else at 5-on-5, but I still think that he gets a bit of a secondary role. Now, having said that, he's entering an unrestricted free agent. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. There's an incentive to really have good production. He's talented enough to be able to hit the 40-point mark just from talent alone. Talent and situation could bump that up to somewhere around 50. So if I'm looking for a Jake Gardiner's return and where I would value him in terms of the draft, I would look between 40 and 50 and let the situation determine whether or not you want to actually bump his value closer to 50 or closer to 40.
Gus Katsaros is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Gus is an hockey analyst with McKean's Hockey, talking about fantasy hockey defensemen as part of our fantasy hockey preview show here on TSN 1290. Gus, Keith Yandle of the Florida Panthers, very quietly last year, had 56 points. You know, this is a guy who's certainly a veteran defenseman at this point. What do you expect from Keith Yandle? He finished 12th overall in defenseman scoring last season.
Oof. You know, I really don't have a lot of faith in what Arizona is able to do. So
Florida.
It's actually the opposite from Florida's perspective. I'm sorry, I was looking at the wrong player. Florida has actually made much gains in terms of where they are up front. I love the addition of Mike Hoffman, which allows an extra shooter, and he really is a good enough shooter that he could have the potential to impact the defenseman playing on the power play. Keith Yandle has become a bit more of a rounded player than what I expected him to be, and maybe has taken a bit of a production dump because of that. But I mean, he's still one of the premier power play player. I would expect him to be, again, similar to where Tyson Berry would be. And you could probably make a decision based on the upswing of Florida overall as a team and how that affects their power play versus where Colorado is going to be and how their power play, if it falters, will affect Tyson Berry. So I feel that both players are somewhere probably in that upper echelon range around the 50-point level, with maybe a bit of potential for more depending on how good each special teams performs.
Yeah, and Gus, if your hockey draft rewards games played, I think it's pretty safe to say that Keith Yandle is going to play 82 games this year.
Yeah, it's nice to have that longevity and the versatility and know that you get a player that, you know, we never really want to harp on injuries because they can happen at any time, but it's nice to know that you have a player that is versatile and durable enough that they're able to play full seasons on such a consistent basis.
Gus, I wanted to ask you about one more defenseman, and then we want to get some breakout candidates from you. Shea Theodore, he signed the 7-year contract recently with the Vegas Golden Knights. He had 29 points in 61 games last year, but he's yet to play a full season in the NHL. How would you approach selecting Shea Theodore in a hockey draft?
Yeah, so Theodore is a bit of a mystery, simply because we don't really know what Vegas is going to be this year. Having said that, they had nominal special teams success. They had fantastic even strength success. And they've added much better components up front in Paul Stastny and Max Pacioretty. So I feel that a little bump in production could probably come from Theodore simply because of the fact that Vegas was able to upgrade a little bit. But at the same level, they're able to provide a better 5-on-4 power play set that would benefit Theodore as long as he gets that first power play unit. They like 4 forwards and 1 defenseman, which kind of works out very well for that first unit. So Theodore, I think, would be somewhere in the Jake Gardner range, somewhere close to that 40 and 50 points. Maybe a little closer to 50 points just because I think that he's the de facto number one guy while Gardner has to play behind Morgan Riley. But I think that they're more or less in that similar range.
Last question for you, Gus. Gus Katsaros of McKean's Hockey joining us to talk about fantasy hockey defensemen. Everyone's always looking for those sleepers or a breakout player, somebody who you might draft in the 5th round or the 7th round, and all of a sudden they provide you with 2nd or 3rd round value, things of that nature. Who are the defensemen that you're keeping an eye on that you think can really take a next step forward this season?
So, I actually think that defense in general is changing very, very much. We're seeing a very diverse evolution of what a defenseman really does. We're seeing them become having more rover-like skills, meaning they're much more involved in the attack at 5-on-5. May not necessarily be getting a lot more power play opportunities because teams are starting to go to that 4-forward, 1 defenseman unit. So any nominal change to breakouts is going to happen more so at even strength than it will on the power play. Having said that, I don't think that you're looking for breakouts at the defensive position as much as you probably want to from forwards. So if you are looking at a specific type of player, like I'll provide a couple of names here that you should focus on from the defensive aspect, but if you're really looking for good breakouts, you should concentrate more on forwards rather than defensemen. If you got anybody in mind, to me, just from his playoff performance alone, and the fact that he's probably one of the model defensemen teams are looking to employ going forward, a guy like Dmitry Orlov has a lot of value, and he's probably undervalued in a lot of drafts. He's one of the guys that I would keep an eye on. I would expect a little bit better out of Jacob Chychrun, although I'm a little hesitant to start naming players from Arizona just because I'm not as confident that they're going to be scoring enough goals to be able to justify the production. The one player that I think was probably going to have a fantastic opportunity to produce a lot more is Darnell Nurse. There's enough injuries on the Edmonton Oilers back end where he can slip into a position and perform on his particular level, and then added a little bit more responsibility and a little bit more special teams appearance. It just boosts his value. So Darnell Nurse would be the ultimate in terms of what you're looking at for a breakout. But again, I wouldn't expect a big 10-point breakout. I think that any kind of defenseman's breakouts are going to be very incremental. There'll be a handful of points or more. And you're looking for better value, go do it from a forward.
Gus Katsaros is a hockey analyst for McKean's Hockey. Gus, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much for your insight as part of our Fantasy Hockey Preview Show.
Pleasure's always mine, guys. Thanks very much for having me on.
Take care, Gus. Thanks again. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. When we come back, we'll talk more about defensemen. You're listening to TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Joe Pavelski looking for Burns, who goes to the net. Walks in and shoots, scores! Carlson sticks it home. 33 seconds to go in the third.
The two best fantasy hockey defensemen can certainly make that argument in Brent Burns and Erik Karlsson. They're now teammates on the San Jose Sharks, and the sky potentially is the limit for those two players as they get set for the 2018-19 NHL regular season. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Saturday morning here on TSN 1290. This segment of the show, it's brought to you by our good friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For over 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. Tonight at Rumors, his final night in town. Absolutely killing it there. Robert Kelly is in town from New York City. Check him out. 2 shows tonight. Tickets available. RumorsComedyClub.com. Robert.com.
Love the guys with two first names.
Robert and Kelly?
Yeah.
Yeah, Robert Kelly.
Yeah.
There you go. There's a guy coming out in a couple weeks. His name's Eric Griffin. He also fits your two first names policy.
Yep.
You know, if you would...
I wonder if he likes Griffin Reinhardt.
I don't know. Reinhardt isn't much of a first name, though.
No, but Griffin is a first name.
I know. I'm saying that, you know, I understand what you're saying. It's okay. I was trying to make a joke that didn't
really
work. Is
this Abbott and Costello or Ginsburg and Mandel?
Either way, we should stop it and just focus on talking about fantasy hockey defensemen. So you are in a pool. Are you in a pool that requires you to take defensemen?
Yep.
That's what I thought.
I'm in a pool, the same pool that we mentioned earlier, where goals are worth 2 points.
Right.
In this pool, you have to draft a minimum of four defensemen.
What is it, four defensemen and one rookie?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the rookie can be a defenseman or a forward.
Okay, so if you're going to take your first defenseman, are you taking Brent Burns or are you taking Erik Karlsson?
I think you got to go with Erik Karlsson, don't you? And, you know, when you consider what happened in Ottawa last year, I mean, Erik Karlsson still put up some decent numbers. They weren't career numbers, but, you know, we were talking to Gus Katsaros about this.
62 points in 71 games last year.
Right, and I think, you know, on San Jose, a stacked roster with, you know, Joe Pavelski and Logan Couture and Tomáš Hertl, I think you're going to see Karlsson around 75 to 80 points, maybe even higher. You know, John Karlsson, you know, speaking of Karlssons, it was the year of the Karlsson, right? William Karlsson and John Karlsson, and then
John Karlsson on Washington re-signed the big contract.
Yeah, he had the most points amongst defensemen last year. And to me, that's a key, you know, for everybody out there that goes in a hockey pool every year. I think it's dangerous, you know, when you have a player that takes that big of a jump forward to expect him to duplicate that. And I think when you're talking about John Karlsson, obviously he plays, you know, on the Washington Capitals and he gets to pass the puck to Alexander Ovechkin, Nicholas Backstrom, you know, Evgeny Kuznetsov, all these players. But, you know, he went from 37 points to 68 points. And, you know, prior to that, you know, he had a 55-point season. But I would expect Karlsson to be closer to the 45 to 55-point range. And, again, I might be wrong about this, but I think the key is you want to take defensemen that year after year give you consistent production. And Erik Karlsson, you know, fits that mold. This is a guy who's averaged 71 points over his last 4 years. And, obviously, you know, 62 points was low for him. So I think when you're talking about Karlsson, you know, if he's not the first defenseman taken, he should be the second defenseman taken. And Brent Burns, you know, he had the career year a couple of years ago. I still think he's a top five fantasy defenseman in your drafts, but I don't necessarily know that he gets back, you know, to that level.
What to the 75, 76 point total that he had in the previous 2 years?
I think he's probably going to be, you know, high 60s, low 70s, but... you know, so I think when you're talking about Erik Karlsson and Brent Burns, they should absolutely be considered with the first overall pick. But I just think, you know, at this point, Erik Karlsson, I think, you know, to me has a bit of the leg up just based on his age and you know, his ability.
What do you do with a guy like John Klingberg? It's funny, we didn't talk about John Klingberg yet. We didn't talk about him with Gus Katsaros in the previous segment. Finished tied for second in terms of points for from a defenseman. 67 points last year for the Dallas Stars. And this was a Dallas Stars team last year that really wasn't very good offensively.
Right.
And the expectation is that they're going to be a better offensive team this season than they were last year. Last year, Ken Hitchcock had them playing a very restrained style. It sounds like Jim Montgomery wants to let them go a little bit more. What do you do with a guy like John Klingberg in that case?
Yeah, I think absolutely, Drew. John Klingberg is a top 10 fantasy defenseman, maybe even top 5 fantasy defenseman. You know, I have him somewhere in the, you know, 60 to 70 point range. Maybe he even gets closer to 75 points. You just don't see that many defensemen in that type of range. And a guy like Erik Karlsson, who's consistently put up, you know, 70 to 75 points, there aren't that many guys that can do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Burns and Karlsson, I mean, these are the outliers. These are the best of the best. So when you're talking about Klingberg, I mean, he's absolutely going to be a 55, 60 point defenseman minimum. Now, as far as, you know, 70 to 75, your guess is as good as mine. I would tend to think he's going to be more in the 60 to 65 point range. And I would draft him in a pool, though. I'll tell you that much. Another thing that you got to factor in is this isn't a guy that's going to score as many goals as a guy like Brent Burns, right? This is a guy who's going to score, you know, 10 to 15 goals as opposed to Brent Burns, who's going to be closer to 20.
Yeah, Klingberg had 8 goals last year for the, you know, conversation's sake. Yep. Eric Karlsson only had 9 goals, though. So, I mean, again, you're not relying
on... Burns only had 12 last year, I remember. But
a down year.
But before that, he had 26.
Right,
so.
You're not relying on defensemen...
Sorry, 29.
You're not relying on defensemen to really be your goal scorers, typically. You're relying on them to rack up the assists, certainly more than anything else.
Right, and Drew, you know, I was going to mention a few other defensemen here, and, you know, these are guys that you probably wouldn't draft, you know, in the first round or the second round. Again, you know, in a standard hockey pool where there's 10 or 12 rounds and you have 10 or 12 teams, Roman Josi, a guy that if you look at his last 4 years, and this is what I did, I projected these defensemen over the last 4 or 5 years. You're talking about 81 games played, 55 points.
Mm-hmm.
81 games played, 61 points. 72 games played, 49 points. 75 games played, 53 points. So Yossi's a guy that you know is going to play the majority of games, and he's going to fall in between 50 and 60 points, guaranteed. Oliver Ekman-Larsson, you look at the last 5 years, he hasn't missed that many games. The most games that he missed was 3 years ago. He missed 7 games. 44 points, 43 points, 55 points, 39 points, 42 points. And the Coyotes are going to be better this year. So you know that Ekman-Larsson's going to give you minimum 40 to 45 points, and there's a good chance that he gets into that 50-55 point range. Another guy, this is a little bit later again, another guy on the Nashville Predators, this would probably be somewhere, you know, in the 9th or 10th round if you have to take defensemen. Mattias Ekholm plays every single game. 3 years ago, 82 games, 35 points. 82 games, 23 points 2 years ago, a bit of a dip, but last year, 81 games played, 34 points. So I think, again, going back to kind of, from a guy who's been in hockey pool since I was 15 years old, I realize,
it's a lot of wasted money.
A lot of people like to focus on the sleepers and the guys that'll have the 15, 20, 25 point increases, but you win hockey pools with the safe picks in the later rounds, and you also win the pools by having guys that have career years, obviously. Yeah. But when you're talking about guys like Ekman-Larsson and Josi, you know that, those guys are always good for 45 to 55 points.
What do you do with a guy like Rasmus Dahlin? Obviously, first overall pick, playing on Buffalo, a team that has, you know, got some talent around him, certainly.
Yeah, and I think you have to be safe, cautious, I would say, more so than safe, but which is kind of similar. But when you're talking about, you know, Rasmus Dahlin, I mean, we know he's going to play the full season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not, you know, a question of whether he's going to play more than 10 games like Christian Vesalainen.
No, he's going to be spending the year with Buffalo.
He's spending the year with Buffalo. So, you know, if you're asking me how many points I think he's going to get, I mean, we know that defensemen, it's hard, you know, to make the NHL as an 18-year-old. I probably have him somewhere in the 30 to 40 point range, but who knows, with his talent maybe he's closer to 50 points. So, you know, Rasmus Dahlin probably isn't going to finish top 10 or top 15 in the NHL in scoring, but he's probably going to put up good numbers because he's got an incredible skill set.
Taking a look closer to home, Dustin Byfuglien, you know, who was down in the, I think, the 45 point range, if I'm not mistaken, last year, exactly 45 points. Is that where you expect to see him settle at this point in his career, or do you think he's still closer to a, you know, low 50s point producing defenseman?
Right, and obviously, you know, last year
missed some games, missed, you know, 13 games.
Right, he missed some games, and, you know, his goal totals have gone down. He was a perennial, you know, kind of 18, 19, 20 goal guy. And, you know, he's definitely going to score more than 8 goals, I think. I think he's going to be probably between, you know, 13 and 15 goals this year. And yeah, I probably have him, Drew, you know, full season. He's probably around 50 to 55 points. And going back to what I said before, Buff is a safe pick. But, you know, safe doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad pick or, you know, it's not a good pick. Safe means that you know that he's going to get a certain amount of points. And that's, to me, the key in winning hockey pools. I mean, when you're talking about the first round, those guys should be between, you know, 85 and 100 points. Second round should be between, you know, 70 and 85 points and so on and so on. So, you know, when you're talking about Buff, he's absolutely a top 10 D pick.
Yeah. Last one I'm going to ask you about, P.K. Subban on Nashville. You mentioned some of the other great defensemen that he's playing with on the Predators. Is that cut into his totals offensively in your mind?
No, I don't think so, Drew. And, you know, when you're talking about P.K. Subban, and again, back to what I said about Buff, maybe, you know, not top 10, but certainly, you know, top 20. But, you know, P.K. Subban is a guy that we know he has the big shot. He's going to go out there on the power play. So I don't expect much of a dip or an increase in his point totals. I think he's going to be pretty similar at this point in his career, similar to Buff. Obviously, Buff's a little bit older, but, you know, PK Subban to me is going to be somewhere around that, you know, 45 to 50 point range.
There you have it. Well, we'll see what happens with the defensemen as they play out in the course of the 2018-19 regular season. When we come back, we're going to focus our attention on goaltenders. Cam Robinson, associate editor at Dauber Hockey, is going to join us. We'll talk about goaltenders from the fantasy hockey perspective. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturdays are for everyone on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
Bottom of the hour. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Looking forward to having Cam Robinson join us to talk about fantasy hockey goaltenders momentarily as we continue with our fantasy hockey preview show. Of course, if you've missed any of it, it will be available for download on our website, illegalcurve.com. It'll be available for download on tsn1290.ca. And of course, just subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts and you can get it automatically each and every week. A programming note, NHL this week returns on Wednesday. It's our season preview show coming up on Wednesday.
So jacked for that.
So jacked. Going to be a great show as always. Eric DeHatchick, Kevin Allen going to join us. Talk about the East, talk about the West, a full hour on the Winnipeg Jets as well. That's coming up on Wednesday night. Note the start time for NHL this week this year, 7 p.m. here on TSN 1290. So join us Wednesday night, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. for 3 hours, a special edition of the NHL this week season preview show coming up on Wednesday.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We're pleased to welcome to the program from Dauber Hockey, Cam Robinson is the associate editor. Cam, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, morning. How are you doing, Philip?
Doing very well, Cam. Obviously, brought you on as part of our fantasy hockey preview show here, and we're going to talk goaltenders with you. We're going to start here locally with Connor Hellebuck. We know last year he was a Vezina Trophy finalist, that incredible 44 wins that he put up, 6 shutouts. Where would you take Connor Hellebuck when you're drafting a goaltender in your fantasy hockey draft?
So there's a couple of ways to look at it when you're drafting netminders. You can reach early and grab yourself a stud that you can lean on for the entire season. Or, you know, maybe you're looking at a wing or a defenseman and you're grabbing a couple middle tier guys later. I'm a fan of getting a workhorse, and Connor Hellebuck's my number one fantasy goaltender this season. So it's interesting. Some people aren't quite convinced that he's that truly elite netminder after having, you know, the immediate impact when he came up as a youngster, and then he had a bit of a dip as a sophomore, and then last season's near Vezina quality year. If you look at the resume, though, he's been elite at every level, from the NCAA up to the AHL, and then last year with the Jets, too. So I think he's a real deal. I think the Jets are one of the best teams in the league. He's going to play a ton of games. He's going to get a ton of wins. He's one of these guys that, you know, if you jump up middle of the second round and you grab him there, I don't have a problem with that at all.
Cam, first of all, great George Costanza gif that you threw out on Twitter earlier today. Wanted to ask you about Braden Holtby. He struggled at times last year during the regular season and then obviously, you know, rediscovered his excellent game in the playoffs, won the Stanley Cup for the first time. Where do you rank Holtby among fantasy goalies in the regular season?
Yeah, so definitely a down year for him last year. He'd been a tier one netminder for the past, you know, 3 years, winning, you know, between 40 and nearly 50 games that 1 year, dropped down to 34, 35 last year. He just wasn't good enough. In the playoffs, though, when he got back into the net there, he was his old self again. Now we'll see. Stanley Cup hangovers are real, especially when you got a real nasty actual hangover like the Caps might have after that party they were having. But no, he's much, much better than the 907 he put up last year. I expect him to be hovering around that 920 or even a little bit above. Grubauer's gone, so there's no one really there to push him to steal his starts. I'm not concerned with Phoenix Copley, and it's, you know, I think he put up a sub 900 save percentage in the AHL last season, so that's not overly concerning. I'd have him again. You know, he's maybe a notch below Hellebuck for me. I think the Jets are better than the Caps this year, but you know, again, he's one of these guys that if you're taking him tail end of the second round or early mid third round, I think that's absolutely fine. So he's a top five goalie in fantasy drafts this year.
Cam Robinson joins us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Cam is an associate editor at Dauber Hockey. We're talking about fantasy hockey goaltenders as part of our fantasy hockey preview show here on TSN Radio 1290. Cam, we saw regular season Pekka Rinne was outstanding. Vezina Trophy winner as a result of his actions during the regular season. Obviously, his playoffs were very disappointing for the Nashville Predators. What Pekka Rinne do you expect to see this season for the Nashville Predators?
It's hard to say. There's, you know, age is an issue. Yuki Saros is an issue. I think that Vezina Trophy winning season has really kind of pushed his value in drafts this year. He's the second goalie coming off the board in Yahoo leagues. I'm not that confident. He's heading into the last year of his contract. They are very confident in Yuki Saros, so I think he's going to peel off at least 30 starts anyways. And if Rinne starts to falter, I don't think they have a problem giving the net to Saros, as they showed they put him in the playoffs as well. So there is that upside for another monster season. He has that skill. He's proven it before. If he can stay healthy and he's on his game, he could be a guy that, you know, you lean on all year. Or maybe he ends up as a platoon or worse, sitting out more than he plays. And so he's a risky pick to be taking that early. I'd be one of these guys that'd be taking him fourth round sort of thing in that 35 to 45 range. And even then there comes with a little bit of risk. So high risk, kind of high reward type of player there this year.
Cam, Tuukka Rask was excellent for the Boston Bruins last year, picked up 34 wins. He was especially great down the stretch, and he's got five straight 30-plus win seasons. Is Rask, as safe a pick as any other NHL goaltender in fantasy hockey?
Yeah, he's one of these guys that, you know, he's not that elite guy that we thought he was a few years ago when he was racking up, you know, 70% quality start rates and things like that, but he's a safe, safe bet for, you know, pushing 35 wins. He's going to have a save percentage in the mid-teens, probably, you know, hovering a little bit above league average sort of thing. But the Bruins are good. They're going to give him a lot of run support. He's a tier two guy, I'd say, you know, hovering in that tier two, high tier three range. Jaro Halak's there now, and he used to be something. So, you know, if Rask falters or something like that, I see Halak maybe peeling starts away from him. But he's your number one if you miss out on some of these top guys, for sure.
Cam Robinson is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Cam is an associate editor with Dauber Hockey. We're talking about fantasy hockey goaltenders here on TSN 1290. Cam, Sergei Bobrovsky of the Columbus Blue Jackets, everyone knows that he's a very high-quality goaltender, yet Seth Jones now, the great defenseman in front of him, is out for 4 to 6 weeks. Former second overall pick Ryan Murray is injured, as he seems to always be. What do those injuries, or how do you evaluate Sergei Bobrovsky entering this season, where there's also the contract situation sort of hovering over everything else?
Yeah, for sure. That UFA status is looming large. You know, some of the comments he's made at camp too, just saying that he's not going to talk contract during the year. The management knows what he wants, and he's pretty confident. He's for my money, he's the best goaltender in the world right now. He has been for the last couple of years. He's very, very talented, but he wants to get paid like that too. So he's looking for double-digit millions here, long-term contract. TJ's in an interesting spot. They have him and Panarin that are, you know, maybe not going to be coming back next year. So do they move them, both of them, and kind of start the rebuild again? And if they move Bob, all bets are off. You know, he's got the no movement clause, so that'll likely keep him away from a bottom feeder, but you have a little bit of risk there. You might end up on a team that's not as good as the Blue Jackets. Now, they could also just push all their chips into the middle, go out and get another piece, and really make a big run, and that would boot really well for his fantasy value. I like him as a tier one guy, though. I think even with Seth Jones being injured for a little bit, that will hurt the overall defensive scheme for the Blue Jackets early, but he'll be back, and he's just a stud on that back end. So I like Bob in a similar area as Hellebuck. So if you're taking him kind of mid-late second round, early third round, I'm happy with that, and he's one of these guys that's going to play a lot of starts, get a lot of wins, really quality guy.
Cam, we have a few more goaltenders that we want to ask you about. Then we want to get some breakout goalie candidates from you. Jonathan Quick is a goalie that I wanted to ask you about. He had a great year last year, 33 wins, 5 shutouts, a great .921 save percentage, similar to Tuukka Rask. Is he just a solid mid-round pick who you know is going to give you consistent results?
I'm not so sure. He can obviously, he's proven a few times in his career that he can put up those, you know, high save percentage numbers and win 35 games and play a lot. But he has battled some injuries over the past few years. He's 32 now. The Kings last year, they played well. They, you know, Kopitar had a career year. Quick had a tremendous year. Doughty played really well. Are they going to do it again? Everybody's a year older on that team. They added a 35-year-old Ilya Kovalchuk. He's gonna add some goals on the board there, but I don't think he's gonna be a complete difference maker. I'm not even sure LA is a playoff team, so maybe they are if Quick plays 65 games and gets 35 wins and is a real rock for them back there, but he's one of these guys that I'm leaning more in those mid rounds as maybe my number two goaltender, and hoping that the Kings and him have another big season.
Cam, Jake Allen is another goaltender I wanted to ask you about. We know that last year, you know, it probably didn't go the way that he wanted it to go after having his breakout season a couple of years ago. And we know all the moves the Blues have made, bringing in Ryan O'Reilly and Tyler Bozak, David Perron. What are you expecting out of Jake Allen this year?
I don't trust Jake Allen. I don't think St. Louis does either. So he's seen his save percentage dip in three consecutive years. He had 27 wins last year, which is pretty poor on a team that should have been in the playoffs for my money, but at the very least they're a bubble team. And he's got someone knocking on the door, so I'm a big fan of Ville Husso. This is a kid who's got the size, he's got the skill, he was an elite player in the Liga, he's had a 921 save percentage in the AHL over the last two seasons. So Chad Johnson will be the backup in St. Louis, but if Allen falters or gets injured, I think it's Husso who comes up and has the upside to seal that job and run with it. So, you know, maybe this is going to be a big season for Allen. He's got a couple years left on his contract. He doesn't want to have another down one where he's either getting dished or ends up on waivers if he has a really stinky season. So if he comes to camp and he starts the season well, you know, things could go right for him and for St. Louis, and then he's going to be one of these guys similar to Quick that's kind of in the mid rounds that you can lean on as a number two. But, you know, things could go very, very poorly for him. So he's one of these guys that I'm probably not drafting unless it's really, really nice value.
Last couple ones for you, Cam. Cam Robinson, Associate Editor, Dauber Hockey, joining us on the program. Does it say, you know, we haven't asked you about Andre Vasilevsky. Is that just because he's that good that we almost don't need to talk about him?
Yeah, he's good. He's going to get 40-plus wins. You know, he's a very, very good goaltender on a very good team, but he does have the tendency to have a few stinkers, and you know, his play really tailed off at the end of last season. So he's a young guy too. So I expect him to be a tier one goalie though, and a top five lock kind of thing. They're good and he's good.
Okay. Last one for you. We're always looking for the breakouts of the guys you can get, you know, later on and get some great value for. From your perspective, Cam, who do you think is going to be sort of those breakout goaltenders this season?
Yeah, number one on my list is Antti Raanta. So, you know, his average draft position right now is, you know, 155. Which could be crazy. So he had a great year with the Coyotes last year. He had a 930 save percentage, which is second in the league, and he played nearly 50 games. And the Coyotes, they weren't as bad as it seemed. You know, they won 17 of their last 21 games, which is a 105-point pace. He's a guy that you can get in the 10th, 12th, 13th round. This is someone that could be ridiculous value for you at the end of the season. So I like the Coyotes this year. I actually put a little cash on them to make the playoffs. I think he's going to be a big, big part of that. So he's a guy that I'm definitely just putting my staking my flag into and saying he's going to outkick his draft position by a lot.
Cam Robinson is an associate editor at Dauber Hockey. Cam, always appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for your insight discussing fantasy hockey goaltenders with us.
Not a problem, guys.
Take care, Cam.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks again so much. When we come back, we continue our discussion about goaltenders. One final segment to wrap it up on this Saturday morning. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturdays are for the curve on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Back to Seabrook. Branson shot. It was blocked. Loose it back. Backhand. What a stop. Hector Rinne.
Look it over the line. It goes. Stefan. He's got it. He shoots. Oh, save.
Pekka Rinne, Connor Hellebuyck making a couple big saves for their respective teams. Something certainly Winnipeg Jets fans will hope to rely on.
How good was that second round series last year?
It was a great series. It was the best series of the playoffs. We talked about it ad nauseum. It's a shame that it happened in the second round, and it was, but it was by far the best series in the playoffs.
I think it was one of the best rounds in the last two or three years.
It was certainly the best round that I remember in the last, let's say, five or so years. Maybe it was even longer than that now as we all get older, was that Kings-Blackhawks Western Conference final.
Yep.
That was the
best. Alec Martinez got the big goal.
That's right. That was the best That was the best hockey that I can remember.
But, and Justin Williams got some big goals, too.
Well, he always gets big goals. Yeah. I mean, you know, that was the best hockey that I can remember recently. That was my favorite series of the last, let's say, decade or so. Right. But, I mean, the Jets and the Predators had everything you would hope for in a playoff series. Any time you got a seventh game, you know it's going to be dramatic.
Yeah, and Anaheim-Edmonton a couple of years ago, that was a great series.
That was a great series.
Remember,
as well.
Edmonton almost won that series.
That's right. They lost in, what, game six in overtime, if I recall correctly? I don't know. My brain doesn't work nearly as well as it once did. Anyways, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. One final segment on this Saturday morning. Going to continue our conversation about goaltenders. You know, we played Hellebuck and Rene off the top. Do you think there's a hangover? And Pekka Rene was pretty lousy in the playoffs last year. Getting older, UC Saros behind him. You know, you heard what Cam Robinson had to say last segment. I wouldn't be that eager to draft Pekka Rene, despite the fact that I think the Nashville Predators are one of the best teams in the NHL. I could see a changing of the guard beginning to happen this season.
Yeah, I don't see Pekka Rene, you know, playing 35 or 40 games, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's somewhere around 50 mm-hmm. to 55 games, and I think he was right around 60 games last year. And UC Saros is arguably the best backup in the entire league. But for me, Drew, the top three goaltenders are in no particular order: Connor Hellebuck, Andrei Vasilevskiy, and Sergei Bobrovsky. And I realize, you know, we talked to Cam about this last segment. You know, Seth Jones is out 4 to 6 weeks, but I mean, what is that? You're talking about 10 or 12 games? I mean, it's still an excellent team. So I think, you know, for your fantasy hockey drafts, if you have to select a goalie, I mean, you could make a strong argument that Bobrovsky should go first overall. This is a guy who's averaged 39 wins and 6 shutouts over the last couple of years. I mean, he was a Vezina Trophy winner a couple of years ago, even though he wasn't a Vezina Trophy finalist last year. Mm-hmm. He easily could have been. So, you know, Bobrovsky, Hellebuck, you know, Vasilevskiy. You know, I think Tuukka Rask is in that conversation. You know, this is a guy who might not have as many wins as Hellebuck or Vasilevskiy, but I think it's pretty safe to say, you know, Rask is going to give you close to 35 wins.
He had 34 last year in 54 games.
Right. And so I think he'll play, you know, a little bit more this year. I could see him being closer to, you know, let's say 57, 58 games. And then you've got Halak there to play whatever, 20 to 25 games. So, you know, I still really like Bobrovsky, to answer your question. And, you know, goalies are always tricky because of how much they rely on the defense in front of them. And that's why Carey Price, you know, for year after year was
the number one
bona fide, you know, number one, number two goalie. And now, because of the defense in front of him and Shea Weber's injury, I wouldn't take Carey Price at all.
Montreal's not going to win enough games to make it worthwhile.
Right.
I mean, that's just the reality of the situation is that Carey Price, in the situation that he's in, you know, I think Carey Price on basically any other team in the NHL becomes, again, a top five goaltender, but the lack of talent in front of him in Montreal is going to impact his value and just not make him worthwhile from a fantasy perspective.
Right. And for me, Drew, you know, if you want to get into, you know, some of the breakout candidates, because I know we only have, you know, 3 or 4 minutes here, but, you know, when you talk about, you know, Carter Hutton, I mean, for me, he has to be a breakout candidate. And
Buffalo,
you
know, Sabres' new goaltender.
Right. And, you know, we know Buffalo's going to be better this year. They just have to be. The acquisitions they've made, Jeff Skinner and Connor Sheary, and Carter Hutton, obviously, the big trade that they made with the Buffalo Sabres. I mean, the Sabres are not going to be the worst team in the NHL this year. So Carter Hutton, I don't think he's going to be top five in the NHL in wins, or probably not even top 10, but I would absolutely draft Carter Hutton and expect him to be, you know, somewhere around 25 to 30 wins. He's probably going to play, you know, 50 to 55 games. I'm not at all concerned that he hasn't been a starting goalie before. He's been a backup in Nashville and St. Louis, but this is a guy that had a .931 save percentage this year, and he's been knocking at the door to be a number one goaltender for a long time. So I really like Hutton too in fantasy.
You know, you make valid points. I'm always a little concerned about, you know, does that goalie who gets his shot at being a number one goalie necessarily pan out to be that number one goalie? We've seen it in Arizona. It's worked with Antti Raanta. He had a great year last year, although injury riddled. But just the same, Scott Darling in Carolina did not work out so well. So you hope, or if you're a Buffalo Sabres fan, you certainly hope that Hutton is closer to Raanta than he is to Darling. But time will tell, you know, where he ends up lying. I'll tell you the name that I got, Ezzy, that, I mean, I don't know why Martin Jones doesn't become a top five fantasy hockey goaltender given the talent in front of him. This is a guy who's a pretty good goaltender, I think, in general. Last year, he finished 12th with 30 wins for the San Jose Sharks, and I was sort of surprised that he only had 30 wins. I mean, Aaron Dell gets a fair number of starts in San Jose,
yep,
because Aaron Dell is actually a talented backup goaltender, a talented young goaltender. But to me, Martin Jones, in that loaded San Jose Sharks lineup, I don't see any reason why he can't be up in the 37, 38, even maybe even 40-win category, yep, for the Sharks.
Yep, you make some good points. I agree. I mean, when you're talking about tier one goalies, that's what we were talking about with Cam Robinson. You're talking about guys that can get you 30 to 35 wins. I agree. Mm-hmm. I think he'll be closer to 35 to 40 wins this year with the San Jose Sharks. Yeah, he could even get up to 41 or 42 wins. Who knows, Drew? The Sharks are going to be great, and he's a guy that can get you, you know, 4 or 5 shutouts a year.
Yeah.
Another guy I wanted to throw out is Matt Murray. And Matt Murray's a guy who I know that, you know, when it comes to the regular season, you know, he's had his struggles, and, you know, everybody knows that he's really turned it up in the playoffs. But
yeah,
I expect Matt Murray to play more games this year. And you forget, he's only 24 years old.
Sure.
He's a year younger than Connor Hellebuck. And this is a guy, you know, who had 32 wins a couple of years ago, and, you know, his save percentage and goals against struggled a little bit last year. But, you know, this is a guy to me that's going to play somewhere in the neighborhood of 55 games. And I would expect him to be, again, around 30 to 35 wins.
Another name, while we're just throwing names out with some evidence at least to back it up, Marc-Andre Fleury, if he's healthy for an entire season. I mean, we know that the Vegas Golden Knights last year had so many goaltending issues by injuries. But Marc-Andre Fleury got 29 wins in only 46 starts last year. If he's up to 60 starts, if he adds another 15 starts to his resume, which is probably where he should be, in and around 60 starts, there's no reason why Marc-Andre Fleury isn't going to get you, you know, another, again, high 30s, I suspect, in win total for another very good team in that Pacific Division with the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yep, he's a tier one, top 10 goalie. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, he had the injuries last year, and, you know, he could play 60 games. You know, maybe that's a little bit high. That's his ceiling as far as games played go right now, but he's certainly going to have more than, what was it, 45 or 46. I'd expect him to be closer to 55, but, you know, if he plays 55 games, he's probably going to get you, again, you know, whatever it is, 35 wins or something like that, right? Because, I mean, Vegas, we don't know if they're going to duplicate last year's success, but I agree. I mean, Fleury is another one of those guys that you should consider as a top goalie pick.
What do you do with Freddie Anderson, Toronto Maple Leafs? You finished fourth overall in wins last year for goaltenders with 38.
I like him a lot, and I like him especially in leagues that reward save percentage.
Because he always had that very high save percentage for the Leafs last year, a 918 save percentage. One goalie, Ezzy, that I would sort of be a little hesitant to jump on that quickly, Devan Dubnyk of the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah, you know what, Drew? I mean, Devan Dubnyk, I mean, we know that he struggled in the first round against the Jets, but he's been pretty consistent. I could see his numbers tailing off a little bit. I don't have him as a tier one goalie, but, you know, with a late pick, I'd take him. I just don't know if the Wild are going to be a playoff team this year.
That's it for this Saturday morning in the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Hope you've enjoyed our fantasy hockey preview show. In case you missed any of the show, it'll be available for download on our website, illegalcurve.com, on tsn1290.ca, and of course, wherever you get your podcast, just subscribe, get it sent to your site, your device, pardon me, each and every week. Big thanks to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, and Keener Jerseys. Support them because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. Big thanks to producer James DeRoschuk, doing a great job behind the board. For Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. We'll see you Wednesday at 7 o'clock for the season premiere of NHL This Week. Stay tuned for Blue and Gold Game Day on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.